Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. Thank you for listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And my name is Kevin.
And, of course, we are here talking about some Justice League unknowns, a little bit of history of unknown characters that were part of the Justice League at some point in time, kind of spotlighting some of these characters. This is part two of that, so we're going to get right into it. I'm going to start with the Injustice League International, which later they tried to make into the Justice League Antarctica. Yes, that was a thing, guys. It happened. The second Injustice League was created by artist Keith Giffen during his run on the Justice League International comic book. It was composed of Clue Master, Major Disaster, Clock King, Big Sur, Multi-Man, and the Mighty Bruce. The team would be used, in line with the humoristic tone of the series, as a highly unsuccessful villain team. All the actions of the team would end with humoristic failures. During an annual of the comic book, Maxwell Lord sent them, along with the incompetent Green Lantern Gnort and his nemesis, the Scarlet Skier, to Antarctica to become the Justice League Antarctica. It was done so in order to get rid of them, but the team would have their headquarters destroyed by mutant penguins. Afterwards, the Justice League Antarctica were fired. After Giffen's run in the series, the team volunteered to join the Suicide Squad. On their first mission, Big Sur was killed, Multi-Man was shot through the head but survived thanks to his powers, and the Clock King and Clue Master were seriously injured.
By the way, who fired them?
Probably Maxwell Lord.
Oh, there you go.
Can't say for sure, but what a crap team of crap. I don't even know who Big Sur is. Have you ever heard of Big Sur?
No, I haven't. I mean, this is not even a D-level team. This is like a F league.
Yeah.
F list.
Big Sur. Big Sur, born Doofus P. Ratchet, had a malformed brain gland that caused him to grow to incredible proportions but left him mentally handicapped. He was later abducted from his Central City Breedmore Mental Hospital home by a group of supervillains, the Rogues Gallery, who equipped him with a high-tech suit of armor created by the Monitor. The suit was heavily armored, could fly, and included a powerful energy flail. However, it also made him susceptible to telepathic suggestion. Big Sur was told that the Flash had just beaten upon the Rogues Gallery, and to make matters worse, he had hurt a mouse. Enraged, Big Sur ambushed the Flash, who was at the time on a trail in Central City for the murder of Professor Zoom. The dim-witted Sur managed to strike the Flash in the head with his energy flail, causing the hero horrific facial injuries. With the last of his strength, Flash managed to run to Gorilla City, where his injuries were healed by Solovar and a Simian medical team. Returning to Central City, the Flash managed to subdue Big Sur and took him back to Gorilla City, where their super science corrected his mental deficiencies. After his treatment, Ratchet's IQ was near genius level, and he became a respected member of society. Aww, ain't that cute? How about that? So now, guys, we got to get into some fun here. Three teams post-Zero Hour, okay? Zero Hour was that big thing where they were trying to correct the Crisis on Infinite Earths issue that they had created.
That's back in the mid-90s, I remember.
They were basically trying to put every Earth into one then, kind of form everything together to streamline it more for DC. So in doing that, they created this event called Zero Hour. At the end of Zero Hour, three teams would use the name Justice League. Justice League America, led by Wonder Woman, Justice League Task Force, led by the Martian Manhunter, and Extreme Justice, led by Captain Atom. Now, of these teams, we have Triumph, Hawkman, Nuklon, Obsidian, Amazing Man, Blue Devil, Ice Maiden, Elrond, Mystic, Zan, and Jaina. Now, these were all of different leagues. For example, Triumph started out, his first appearance was Justice League International. Hawkman, Nuklon, Obsidian, Amazing Man, they were all part of Justice League America. Blue Devil, Ice Maiden were Justice League America as well. Elrond / Despero was Justice League Task Force. Now, this is an interesting one. Elrond Despero. Do you know anything about that?
No, please tell me about Mr. Despero.
Well, Elrond was he was a robot, and he was named after fictional science fiction fictional science
fiction
writer, L. Ron Hubbard, who was originally the robot companion of Manga Khan. At the time, MegaCon also had other robots named after famous figures in science fiction, including Commander Suru, Captain Crick, and a few others. Now, Elron exhibited different robot forms at this time. Basically, what happened was Elron took over the mind of Despero. Elron's consciousness is transferred into the body of Despero by Kilowog, of all people, in a desperate attempt to stop the villain's latest rampage. So basically, they put the consciousness of this robot inside of Despero's body. So you have this huge, beastly Despero, but with a robot's very logical sensibilities. So it was an interesting idea. We then later get into the... there was a team of JLA formed in around 1996. Mark Wade, Fabian, and Grant Morrison all had a hand in it. Although I'm sure since it was good, it was probably more Mark Wade and Grant Morrison than Fabian. But basically it consisted of the team of Green Lantern, Tomorrow Woman, Aztec, Green Arrow, Oracle, Plastic Man, Steel, Zar-El, Wonder Woman, Big Barda, Hourman, Jade, Antias, Jesse Quick, and eventually Dark Flash. Now we get some new members in 2000 and 2001. We get Moon Maiden, Nightwing / Batman, Faith, Hot Girl, Jason Blood, Green Lantern, and Manitou Raven. Then we go to the Justice League Elite, which was an interesting thing. This was a sister superior organized. She organized the JL Elite for missions the Justice League refused to do. Included Justice League America past core members Green Arrow, as well as Justice League America members Flash, Wally West, Manitou Raven, and Major Disaster. Also included Sister Superior, Menagerie, Cold Cast, Naif Al-Shaki, Kasumi, and Menatal Dawn.
Is Sister Superior a nun?
I don't know. Who knows what these people are? Sister Superior? Let's find out. Sister Superior, who are you? Let's see. Sister Superior. I don't know.
No picture.
No picture. She's basically not even worth a picture. Poor Sister Superior. So let's get into some interesting things here that we got. James Robinson did a miniseries called Cry for Justice. And in that, the Justice League considered... it consisted of characters such as Oliver Queen, Ray Palmer, Hal Jordan, who formed the team, Supergirl, Starman, which is Mikal Thomas, that's Starman, Kong Gorilla, believe it or not, Guardian, Monel, Donna Troy, Cyborg, and Starfire. So an interesting team, definitely, to be established out of that.
And it plucked a couple of old new Teen Titans.
Yeah. And then we're going in as we're leading into more Justice Leagues and stuff, but I think it's going to be ultimately leading up to one of your favorites.
Yes, Justice League Dark, who deal with the mystical elements, the dark arts,
yeah,
and the dark world of the DC universe.
Dark indeed, sir.
Now, this consisted of various members. We'll start with Andrew Bennett, a centuries-old vampire from the title I, Vampire. And it says here he was asked by Constantine as a favor to join the team. He had Black Orchid, a shape-shifting version of Black Orchid, revealed to be Alba Garcia, an Argus agent who worked under Colonel Steve Trevor. Then you have Dr. Mist, the supernatural expert and consultant who worked alongside Black Orchid to keep an eye on Constantine. You have one of your favorites, Frankenstein.
Ah, Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster, so to speak.
That's right, Frankenstein's monster, not to be confused. A lot of people get that confused.
Mm-hmm. He's great. He's a great character. And it's funny because when I was younger, I didn't like when real literary characters or real characters were put into comic books. It always bothered me.
Bother you? So Dracula in the comics would bother you?
Yeah, I was like, no. He's not a comic book character.
So werewolf man.
He's not somebody that was created. You know, he came outside of something else. How dare you sully the good name of comic books by bringing that? Yeah, I was a little silly when I was a kid.
And now you kill yourself looking for Werewolf by Night and Tomb of Dracula.
Well, I used to. And Frankenstein. I have the first Werewolf by Night and I have the first Tomb of Dracula. Thankfully, those are still
Frankenstein.
somewhat obtainable. The first Frankenstein, I'm not sure if I have that or not. I might. I just don't remember, to be honest.
Okay.
But some good characters.
That's true. Another one I know you enjoy. I know you love this character a lot. John Constantine.
Mm-hmm. Love me some John Constantine.
Master musician. I said musician.
He plays a sax.
Magician.
There we go. That's a little better.
And of course, he, you know, I believe he started in the good old vertical title, Hellblazer.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe you have the first issue of.
Well, he started originally in, I do. But he originally started in Swamp Thing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. Yeah, he first appeared in that. And then later, his main, like, as Hellblazer, John Constantine, appeared in, you know, Hellblazer number one. But yeah, his first appearance was in a Swamp Thing, and I think it was an Alan Moore story.
Yes.
So I think Alan Moore had a hand in creating John Constantine, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
And of course, you had that Constantine movie for about 12 years ago. So-so.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, but not great either.
Not great. Definitely not great.
Not great, but not bad.
TV series, everybody loved it. Because he was the perfect John Constantine. Not because it was great, but because the guy playing him was so good at it. So, it got better as it went along, but unfortunately, it wasn't pulling in the ratings for NBC. And NBC, they gave it a fair run, I feel like. But, you know, like 9 episodes or something like that. But
never caught on.
Really. Yeah, just never caught on, unfortunately. And the CW did pick up Constantine to be in an episode of Arrow. Once, so he did make his way over to there, and I sat in on the panel this year at San Diego Comic-Con International. I sat in on a panel for, I think it was The Flash, or was it Arrow? No, it was Arrow, and they were talking about how in Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow, you might see eventually some more John Constantine. They said they're not done with him yet. They said Matt Ryan, which I believe is the guy that plays John Constantine, has just been busy working and doing other projects, which is good. The man needs to eat,
mm-hmm.
So naturally he'd be doing other projects. But they said that he hopefully will eventually come back for some more John Constantine. So keep that in mind, folks. So
they got him in the back pocket, just in case.
In the back pocket.
All right. Next person I want to talk about real quick, Deadman. The ghost of an assassinated acrobat who can possess the bodies of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Featured first in Strange Adventures number 205, which I believe you have that as well.
I do. It's a beautiful issue. I think Neil Adams did a lot of the artwork on that run. So always, you know, beautiful art, beautiful covers. Man knows his craft. I will give him that.
And Deadman, I believe, deserves to be like on a Netflix or Amazon TV series if they ever did one.
Yeah, I think, you know, and from what we know now of the Disney departure with Netflix... doing something like that, I think, would be extremely beneficial for, especially for Netflix now. They should be scrambling to try to say, hey, we'll take any of your bullshit characters that you don't want to do anything with. And I say bullshit in the nicest way. I don't, you know what I mean? And like, we'll do anything with it. How about a Wild Dog, you know, series, or how about a Dead Man, or, you know, we'll do Blue Devil, whatever. Just give us some, characters.
Maybe some Madame Xanadu.
That would work for me.
A mystic and fortune teller, originally featured in Doorway to Nightmare.
That would be pretty rad, actually, Madame Xanadu series. I could see that.
She also, of course, has connection to John Constantine in Neil Gaiman's Books of Magic miniseries.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh. Good for her. Good for him. Good for them both. Yay. All right, good. And who else is on this team? Did we mention them all?
No, we got a few more.
Okay.
Mind Warp, original character created by Peter Milligan for Flashpoint.
Interesting, okay.
Jay Yun is a man who possesses the powers of telepathy and astral projection. He may be aware of the fourth wall, as evidenced by his reading Peter Milligan's Secret 7 miniseries and the Flashpoint title, Dead Man and the Flying Graysons.
Interesting.
Yes.
So basically DC's Deadpool.
Yes,
in a way.
In a way.
Which is funny because Deadpool is Marvel's Deathstroke. So it's, full circle there.
And then we have Nightmare Nurse.
The best.
Pandora. Then we have the Phantom Stranger.
Phantom Stranger, that's a good one.
Princess Amaya of House Amethyst. Your boy Shade the Changing Man, created by Steve Ditko.
Nice. Yeah, I like Shade the Changing Man. He's a cool guy. Reality manipulation and morphing kind of thing, you know? make you, basically, you're sitting on a chair, it'll make you think you're sitting on a pile of rattlesnakes. You know what I mean? It's like,
I can really mess with you.
F you up for life. You know what I mean?
And then some.
And then some, yeah.
And then, of course, probably my personal favorite member of the team, Swamp Thing. And I know you love some Swamp Thing. I know you and I have been trying to get our hands on a House of Mysteries number 92.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hard to find. Oh, no, sorry, not really hard to find, but
it's expensive, guys.
To purchase.
It's expensive. Basically, we're going to maybe have to wonder twin our power, put our hands together, and form enough money to buy one issue.
or just better, just don't pay rent for a month and see if you can get away with it and go get the book.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, you try it first.
Okay. And they gave me the 30 days notice.
And then you'd be like, I don't know what happened, darling.
I'll say, hey, how's
oh,
this?
Oh, no, what happened?
Hey, excuse me. Can you take this house as a payment right here? This House of Mysteries number 92?
It's raining and you're holding it over your head to block the rain. You're like sleeping on it as a pillow. You're wearing it for clothing. I don't know how that works, but you just are. It's really weird. Really weird.
Okay, and the last two people on this team is Zatanna and Zariel, an angel who is a guardian of heaven.
Created by, wasn't it Grant Morrison as well?
I believe so.
Yeah, he created him and tried to get him in his own series and spin that off along with Aztec, Aztec, the something man.
Something man.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but
I could see you naming your kids Zariel.
Yeah, all those kids I'm having. Yep. None that I know of. Anyway, with that, I think we're going to end our unknowns, basically because it dives into the more current Justice League members, and probably a lot of people that are listening to this already know those guys. So just a little bit of our history on the past. So please, like us on Instagram, follow us, like us on Facebook and follow us there.
YouTube.
Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes and subscribe to that if you would, pretty please. And if you get some time, maybe stop on by someplace, because we'll see you
at the comic shop.